In the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter, we want to look at verses 1 through 5. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 5. We're going to read from the screen, as several of you have different translations. And so if you'll just read from the screen and then make note of where the text is for when you are home, it would be appreciated. Shall we read? In the year okay, let's stop. Okay, that should have said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. Now don't forget that word, woe. What did he say? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And I just want to talk to you this morning from the fact that we need to experience worship. We need to experience worship. Now, for the last 5 weeks, we have talked about raising the praise. And for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about marching into worship. See, I feel that if we can begin this year, 2020, getting our praise and our worship right, then everything else for our church will fall in line. I will tell you this morning that there will be some teaching in this message. I'm going to tell you up front, there may not be a lot of hollering and screaming, but I just want you to start the month off getting the lesson. Amen? There are 2 things that I am not only convinced of, but I'll be honest with you, I am disturbed about. And it is the misnomer, the misinterpretation, and the misinformation that is now in the kingdom world when it comes to the reality of worship. There is a grave concern in this day and time for understanding and even for the misunderstanding of what worship really means and what worship is really all about. Now, in this day and time of praise and of worship music, in this day and time of cutting edge culture, we have so dipped into the culture of society, and we have become pleased by what society is doing, and we have moved the acts of society within God's house. And the ways of society has no place in God's house, because we are to be a set apart people. And if we are set apart, then we cannot act like the people of the world. And I already hear you. I already hear you, and I don't want to hear it because I need you to know better than that, that you were of the world first, but you came out of the world, and you should have come into the marvelous light. And when you come into the marvelous light, your worship ought to change. Your experience should change. I believe that most folks at SMBC know that Pastor Joshua loves the choir. I love the music of the choir. I love the musicians. However, I really need to tell you that real worship, really has nothing to do with the music or the choir. And the choir knows I love them, but real worship really has nothing to do with you all. You usher in the Spirit so that we can fall down and worship Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Worship has nothing to do with the syncopation or the beat, the rhythm, how fast or how slow a song is. And let me tell you something. I hear people all the time talking about the category of the music. Listen, worship has nothing, baby, to do with denomination. Worship has nothing to do with affiliation. Worship is not relegated or boxed in to a certain type of church or a certain denomination. Listen, I don't care what denomination you are, and that's part of our problem, is we need to move out of whether we're this or that, but we need to become worshipers. Worship is not branded for a certain kind of people. Listen, don't you get it twisted and think that black folks are the only folks that know how to worship God. People of color are not the only folks that know how to worship God. I know some folks that bow down and worship Him, and they're not of the majority persuasion in our sanctuary today. Worship is not something that is set aside for a certain group of people. And also, don't get this twisted. Worship is not simply for the unintelligent or the undereducated or the less bougie or the less society-defined people, because if we're honest with ourselves today, worship really has nothing to do with our gathering in a building, because properly understood and defined, worship is not an event, but worship is an encounter. I wish I had a church talking back to me today. You don't come to worship, baby. You don't come to worship. You do worship. Let me say that again. You don't come to worship. You do worship. Ask your neighbor, did you hear what he just said? We've been coming here to worship. He said, we don't come in here to worship. We do worship. You come to a building, but being a building does not make worship. That's just like you can be sleeping in your garage all night, but it doesn't make you a car. But here's what worship does. Worship makes the building a sanctuary. Somebody feel me. Worship makes the building a sanctuary. The sanctuary does not make you. Worship makes the building a sanctuary. The reality is that we call this building a sanctuary, but you can do anything in here that you can do in a Colosseum. You wanted to host a jazz festival in here? You could. See, we got this thing twisted, because what makes worship are not the ornate features. What makes worship is not this desk. This desk does not make worship. This desk does not make worship. Listen, I know I hear people all the time, preachers all the time, and I'm just going to have to stand on what I'm standing on today. And I got to stand flat-footed, and I got to help some people out. Amen? Listen, this desk is not sacred. Okay, let me help you out. This desk is not sacred. This wood is the same wood that wood is that I step on when I walk down these steps. This desk is not sacred. Y'all quit calling this a sacred desk. This is not a sacred desk. Matter of fact, when this church was built, this was not our original stand behind which we preach, but the one that was here, let me talk to you about it. The one that was here, we went to a warehouse, and I was in the warehouse when some people drinking beer were cutting out the wood for our pulpit, and then you're going to talk about this ain't no sacred desk. Somebody talk to me. This pulpit that's right here, Deacon Singletary, you will recall that you and I got a catalog. We went online and we ordered this from a company. This company got all kinds of folks working in it that may not even know Jesus. We don't even know where this stuff came from. This is not what's sacred. Our worship is what brings the sacredness in the sanctuary. Am I talking to anybody in here today? You got to have something on the inside of you. Somebody talk with me. You got to have something on the inside of you and quit hiding behind stuff. Here's what makes worship. What makes worship is when we set the atmosphere of our spirit in a proper manner to allow God to manifest his presence in such a way that his glory, let me say that again, that his glory fills the place and things begin to happen. How many of you know you can feel when the real spirit comes in, when the real glory of the Lord comes in, you can feel the glory of the Lord. And sometimes we have to unload some junk that we have in our lives in order to allow the glory to come in and fill our soul. You got to make room for God. Sometimes God can't get in because we're so packed with junk. And you got to unpack some junk so God will have some room to move in your life. I watched people come to the altar this morning. And as you did, I prayed for you as you were here. But baby, if you came to the altar and went back to your seat with the same stuff that you brought to the altar, you're hindering your worship. Somebody got to hear me today, because the choir just said, my worship is for real. And I need our worship to be for real in Shiloh. I want our worship to be for real. I want our praise to be genuine. You got to unload some junk in order to allow the glory to come in and fill the soul. Let's look at that word glory. The glory simply puts, when you look at glory, it just means the beauty. It means the splendor, the magnificence, the wonders and the exaltations of God. Worship is not what you do on Sunday morning. That's not worship, baby. That's not what you do on Sunday morning. Come with me to the book of Chronicles, where Jehoshaphat, is preparing to fight a battle. And the Bible says that when he gets the word from God about going out against the army, notice, if you will, that he is not given the instruction to put military people in front of the line, but he's given instruction to put the choir in front of the line. Now don't get it misunderstood, and don't think I just contradicted myself, because that does not suggest that we are to put the praise team and the choir in front of us, but the suggestion is that the people should be put in front of us who are trained in worship. And that's why they put the choir in front of them, because they're trained in worship. Because the only way to defeat armies that are coming up against you are not to have weapons that are like theirs, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritually mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You got to have something on you, something in you, in order to worship God. And if you ain't got nothing in you, pardon my English, but if you ain't got nothing in you, that's why other folks' worship is going to get on your nerves. Want you to notice something. We've been talking about praise. Let me tell you, praise is usually up. It's on your feet, in your hands. But worship is on your face. Somebody talk with me. Worship is on your face. Worship is in a bowed down position. Worship is when you drop your head before the master. You fight the enemy when you learn to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's what worship really is. When you move from having church to worship, you will discover that real worship does something to you. Worship, stay with me. Worship will have an effect and an after effect on you. Can I be honest? Can I just be real with you? I am at the point where I don't want to come to church to have church anymore. I'm tired of having church. Can I just be real? I'm at the point now. I'm not suggesting that we do it here. So please don't misconstrue what I'm saying. But I'm at the point where I'm tired of just coming every Sunday and doing the same old thing because of a printed piece of paper that tells me what to do next. I'm tired. Sometimes I just want to take this. I just want to take this bulletin. And I thank Gwen for printing these every week. But sometimes I just want to take them and rip them up, because we're so bulletin boxed in that we don't let real worship occur. Sometimes you got to leave the bulletin in order to have real worship. I'm at the point where I want to see the glory of God every time I enter his presence. I'm tired of coming to have church just to have church. I'm tired of coming to church just to look at what you got on and what you got on. I'm tired of just coming in here just to catch up on how you been this week. I want you to have had a good week, but that ain't why I come in here. If I want to know how you've been this week, I'm going to meet you at Starbucks. But I'm not meeting you at Shiloh to come in here and find out how you've been this week. I'm coming in here for another reason. And my reason is to receive the glory of God. But listen to me, baby. I need you to hear me this morning. When you receive the glory of God, you got to watch yourself. Because when you receive the glory of God, then you start to see yourself for who you really are. Hello, somebody.
you'll start to see who you really are. There's something about the glory of God that can do things to you and with you that nothing else can do. The glory of God can do stuff that the choir can't do, the preacher can't do, the neighbor next to you can't do. This ain't to turn to your neighbor. This ain't a turn to your neighbor. This is one of those sermons where you say, God, I just want to see your glory. I want you to be manifested in my life. And I want your glory to shine through me, that other people will be able to see your good works and glorify your son who's in heaven. Can I tell you that too many folks want to have church, but they aren't looking for an encounter with God? You got to have an encounter with God. And the reason why so many people run from church to church, they join one church this month. 2 months later, they join another church. If you change something, they get mad and walk out and leave. That's because they haven't had a real encounter with God. It's all about them and not about God. Take yourself out of the equation and see what you have left. It ain't about what's convenient for you. It's about your sacrifice to worship and praise God. See, folks are just coming to church, Sullivan, for this. You want me to tell you what they're coming for? They're coming so their heart can go pitter-patter, their feet can go pitty-pat, and their hands can go clappity-clap. But that's all you come from, and you coming in here to just get a little wiggle on Sunday morning and then wiggle your way out and feel like you worship God, then baby, you missed the point of coming in the house. You got to come to get the glory of God. Listen to me. I don't need anybody with me in order to see the glory of God. I can see the glory of God all by myself. Somebody talk with me. Is there anybody understanding me this morning that you can see the glory of God all by yourself? You can get in a worship session all by yourself. That's what happens here with Isaiah. He wasn't in a corporate worship service. He wasn't hanging out with the choir. Nobody was singing to him. But Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, said, when I was all by myself, but because I had set my own atmosphere in the year King Uzziah died, I know what everybody else saw, but I saw the Lord. What we see here is the glory, the presence of the Lord, as seen through the eyes of Isaiah. And the Bible declares that when the glory came, that the post started shaking. Stuff started happening when the glory of the Lord comes in. Listen, listen, listen. We think as long as the beat is in the house and if folks are jumping, we think that we have done something and we leave out of here talking about, didn't we have some kind of church today? If you didn't feel the glory of the Lord come in, you ain't had no church. Because when the glory comes in, things get shaken to the extent that the only thing that's left are the things that can't be shaken. How many know God needs to do a shake-up in this church? Somebody talk back to me. How many of you know God needs to do a shake-up in this church where the only thing that's left are the things that cannot be shaken? See, God tries to shake up things with his glory so that when you stand before him, the only things that are left are those that cannot be shaken. But our problem is that we try to hold on to too many shaky things. Let go of shaky things. If it's shaky, let it go. every shaking in your life is not from the devil. God will come through your temple with his glory in order to shake some things that need to be shaken. And he does it or allows it to get down to the things that could not be shaken. He'll shake some people away from you in an attempt to remind you that the only one that is solid and unshakable is God himself. He'll shake some things away from you in an attempt to remind you that the only thing that's unshakable is him himself. And I don't know about you, but I need the glory of the Lord. I need the glory of God in my life. I need an encounter from God in my life so that the revelation of God can be released so that I can be changed, because the text is tailored to teach us that when I truly, truly, really, genuinely, authentically encounter with glory, something happens when we get that encounter. Let me talk about what happened. Three things happened, and I may not get to all of them because my spirit is burning me up on the inside. But God does not need a conducive context to have a conversation with you. One of the things that we need to be delivered from today is having what I call a context-driven relationship with God. If we were honest today, and if I took a poll, we would have to admit that our faith and our relationship with God is situationally driven when it ought to be faith-based driven. If we were to take a poll, we would discover that for most, we allow what we think and what we do about life and even think about God to be driven, to be dedicated, to be determined by whatever is going on at the moment in our life. And you might not want to admit it today, but we give power to the things that we go through more than the God that we claim is over what we go through. And our attitudes are driven by our situation, and our situations block our worship. I'm not going to be driven by my situation. Anybody in here had a situation this week? Anybody had a situation this week? These folks haven't had any situation. Let me go to my real folks. Anybody in here had a situation this week? Talk to me, talk to me. Anybody had a situation this week? And you found out that God was right there sitting in the middle of your situation. Hello, somebody. He'll sit in your situation no matter what you're going through. Matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some folks here, but you really ain't here. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just talking about what I'm. There's some folks here and you ain't here. What you mean I ain't here? You ain't here because your mind is on something that you're going through, to the extent that you can't even sense the moving of the Spirit of God in the midst of his people, because you have empowered something that's going on in your life to the extent that your vision is blurry and you can't see God working in your life because your eyes are so focused on your situation. Get your eyes off of your situation and get your eyes on the situation fixer. Somebody talk with me today. You in here right now and you ain't heard a word I said. You may not even know that I'm standing here. Hello, I'm Pastor Joshua. Hello, good morning to you. I'm here to begin my message today because some of you just tuned in and this is the first time you heard me today, because your mind is centered and focused upon what you're going through. Some people don't even show up because they're going through something. When you're going through, don't you stay home because you're going through. Don't you stay home because you're going through. You come to the one that can get you through. Somebody talk with me this morning. Can I be honest? We are sightseeing people. In other words, we allow the things that we see and the things that we go through to govern our feelings, to govern our attitudes because of our sight. which gives us a messed up, disillusioned, and tainted perception, thus causing us to give power to a circumstance as if it's more power than the God over our circumstance. You need to read Isaiah. Look at just the way he starts the chapter. He says, in the year King Uzziah died, he said, I also saw the Lord. You must understand history. You got to know Uzziah. Uzziah had been a godly king. He had brought Judah to prosperity. Uzziah had been a king after God's own heart. Uzziah had brought Judah to a golden age spiritually. But then he was stricken by leprosy, and he was put out into isolation. And now this loved, godly king of Judah is dead. They loved him. He was a godly king. He brought them back to prominence. And Isaiah says, in the same year when life got rough, when things got tough, I heard God talk and I saw God's glory. Get the picture. There's a tragedy in the land. The king has died. Nothing is going the way we want it to go. But the same year when my life was rough, when things didn't go like I wanted them to go, that's when I saw the Lord. Do you know how many people have actually met God in the toughest seasons of their life? Because God has a way of bringing his children through. Is there anybody that can say, I feel his presence when I'm catching hell? I still know he's present. It reveals to me that God doesn't need your life to be going right. Hear me when I tell you this. God does not need your life to be going right to come in to your situation and radically move in a way where his glory can be revealed. It's in the year of a tragedy that God is seen, and through the ear of an angel that God is heard. Is there anybody in here other than Pastor Joshua that's glad that God can be seen and God can speak no matter what you're going through? Y'all sitting on me today. Is there anybody in here that you glad that no matter what you're going through, God can be seen and God can be heard in your situation? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that whatever you're going through, God is speaking to you in that situation. Somebody talk back to me today. Whatever you're going through, God is talking to you in the midst of that situation. Problems on your job, God is speaking to you. You just got to listen to what God is saying. So in order to deal with your problems, you got to get in the right posture. You got to get in the right posture in order to deal with your problems. Let me tell you, I can't stand for folks coming in talking to me, standing up over me, looking down at me. Sit down, man. Don't be standing over me talking to me like that. Sit down. Tell you that all the time. Don't be coming in and start talking to me like that. And surely don't point your finger while you talking to me like you pressing some point with me. No, you got to get in the right posture when you come to God. And the right posture is not standing up like you standing over God. The right posture is when somebody needs to take a dip right now. Somebody needs to take a dip right now and tell God, I'm bowing before you. Some of you say, I don't bow. Well, you gonna either bow now or bow later. But you gotta get in the right posture so that you can deal with your problems. Sometimes when our life is so good, we can't see God because we're too busy basking in our own glory about what we have done, when the truth of the matter is you have not done a thing. Anything that you have, anything that you are, it's because of God. Tamir was a man that came before the Lord, and he said, I understand that you made man. He just stood there. Said, I understand that you created the earth. He said, you're not the only creator. I can create some things too. He said, watch me. The Lord just stood there. And he reached down. And he got dirt. And he started to form something. And the story says that the Lord spoke to him and said, just a minute, get your own dirt. I made the dirt, so get your own dirt. Somebody ought to be basking in the glory of God this morning. Somebody ought to be telling God, thank you this morning, because everything that we have is because of you. I know I got to get out of here. I know I have. But can I just leave you with this? Can I just leave you with this? I'm going to leave you with this because we're going to talk about worship more. But I just got to leave you with this. When I get in the glory of God, the glory of God shows me how awesome he is. But at the same time, it allows me to see how messed up I am. Somebody talk back with me. Because sometimes we think we all of that plus two bags of chips. When really and truly, you ain't even a crumb. You are nothing. Somebody talk with me. When you in the glory of God, it points out all your flaws. Depends on who you're measuring up to. You got to measure up to the right person. Come here, Mansell. Stand right there. See, I feel tall looking at you, sir. I feel tall. But watch this. Go sit down. Come here, Ezekiel. Now, all of a sudden, things just change. And Glenn, I know you ain't over there talking about nobody. I know. See, somebody, when the same boat you in, always want, you ain't got to do all that. Same boat I'm in, always, help me out, somebody. When you look and keep your eyes on God, you will start to see what you are not. If you think you all of that, then you measure yourself according to God, his son, Jesus Christ. And you find out you ain't all you think you are. And now I'm getting ready to rip somebody's shoes off. Because I'm getting ready to hit somebody in the top of their head. And when I do, I'm going to bust your shoes off when I do. You ain't everything you think you are. You're no more than a sinner saved by the grace of God. Because that's all I am. But I thank God. I thank God. Thank God that I was on my way to hell, but he saved me. He saved me. Yes, sir, he saved me. He saved me. Is there anybody in here can say that you've been saved by the grace of God? If so, get up on your feet. So here's my clothes. This and I'm done. This and I'm done. Isaiah looked when he saw the glory. And you're going to help me close this mess. When he saw the glory, he said, woe. Woe is me. That word woe meant dead is me. Somebody ought to throw your head back and say, woe is me. Woe. Somebody say, woe. Whoa, let me do it this way. Somebody say, whoa, I just want this section to whoa me, then this section, this section, this section, that section, and that one. Woe is me, for I am undone. I ain't what I thought I was. I looked at what he is, and I looked at what I am. Woe. I looked at his love, and I looked at my hatred. Woe. I looked at his compassion, and I looked at my deceit. Woe. I looked at his righteousness, and I looked at my wickedness. Woe. I looked at his holiness, and I looked at my wretchedness. Woe. All I can do is just say, woe is me. I will worship the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will give him praise. I will give him glory. I will give him honor. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa. When I say, so how high God was is when he discovered, just like I have, when I look at how high God is, that's when I look and I realize how low I am. And that's when I start just praising God that you would take somebody as low as I am. Somebody just keep making mistake after mistake. And you would take me and give me another chance. You give me another opportunity. You would make me be able to stand and preach to people when I'm on the same level as the people I'm preaching to. Somebody ought to help me, because I'm still a wretch undone. I'm still a work in progress. God is still working on me. Don't y'all get it twisted. Don't you think your pastor's no perfect being. I make mistakes. I say things that's wrong, do things that's wrong, but God is always a God of another chance. And that's why I can say, in the midst of all I'm going through, I can throw my head back and just say, whoa, woe is me. But I can also say, glory, 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 holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. How can you still say that? The only reason I can still say it is because of something that happened one Friday at Calvary. That's the only reason I have any hope, is because of something that happened one Friday at Calvary when he gave his son. His son went to the cross, died on the cross. His son stayed in the grave for 3 days. They thought they had him. They had a soldier there guarding the grave. But on Sunday morning, early, before the break of day, he got up from the grave, and just like he got up and went to be with the Father on the right-hand side, he's coming back again. Is there anybody in here that can give God some praise for what God has done in your life? Is there anybody in here can say glory to God in the highest? Is there anybody can say he's all right this morning? I think somebody ought to worship God. I'm not asking you to stand to your feet, but I'm asking you to bow your heads in humble submission to God and just start telling God, thank you for being your God. Thank you for being your keeper. Thank you for being your creator. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for the air that I breathe. I worship you, O Lord. I bow in humble submission, and I'm not ashamed to let somebody know that I've seen the glory of the Lord. Is there anybody here that have seen the glory of the Lord? Because when the glory comes in, things begin to happen.
That's right.
The doors of the church stand open. This is a tremendous opportunity for somebody to walk the aisle on this first Sunday of March. There are some people that need to come home, some people that need to come back to him. And I'm asking this morning that the church would just pray that somebody would come to the light this morning. You may have been just not doing what you know you should have done. It may be that you moved.